Good morning, church. Turn to Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Let me pray while you're turning there. Father, we come before you. You know our hearts. It's awesome to be a Christian. Our sins forgiven. Our home is all set. You didn't leave us alone. You gave us the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, our GPS. Forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for all our worrying, anxiety as believers in Christ. And I pray today you break those chains, Lord, if you haven't already. That you increase our faith as we hear your word, we believe your promises, we would walk by faith in what you have said and what you have promised, and you're not a liar. Help us not to slap you in the face and worry. Let fears control us, but may we love you with all of our heart and trust you and live this abundant life that you promised. Not just in heaven, but now, that we may show Christ to the world by our joy. By our peace, by how we live and what we say and what we do. Of course, by sharing the gospel as well. But you add the increase, Lord. It's a privilege, it's an honor to be an ambassador for you, to be a farmer sowing the seed. So do what you have to do in our hearts, Lord, that we would draw closer to you, those who aren't saved. You've never been born again. You've heard the message. Please today, repent and receive Christ. You don't know what you're missing, but ultimately you'll spend eternity in hell away from God. And I don't want that, and the Trinity does not want that, and we'll talk about that today. So, Lord, break the chains of the fear of man today. In Jesus' name, amen. So I kind of want to close this mini-series out of fearing and trusting God versus fearing man. And I think a lot of times we don't realize, and I share with you, that sometimes we're fearing man and we don't even realize it. And so I hope today as we kind of summarize this. So chapter 13 we looked at last week. Remember, they're at Kadesh Barnea. They sent in the 12 spies. 10 of them came back and said, we can't take the land. 2 said, yes, they can. It was Caleb and Joshua. Right? And so I just want to review those 4 quick points and then get into chapter 14. So how do we fully rely on God by faith is make a proper assessment of the situation. And so they went in there and they looked, they say, man, there are giants. Right? Just like you and I, we have to look, so there are obstacles in our life. There are giants in our life. We have to look at them, assess them. Right? I gave you an example last week of somebody who had their financial problems. Well, you got to look at it. How did I get into this trouble? You have to look at it. You can't ignore it. But then you have to trust God. The second point was we must see God's promises more powerful than the circumstances, right? Eventually, you have to see what God has promised in him, that he's greater than the enemy. He was the creator of life. Everyone has to bow to him. We have to believe that in order to go on. I made a few statements. The first one was we must not minimize the circumstances of our lives, the giants, but maximize God and his promises. And then faith in God maximizes our resources and minimizes the difficulties, right? Psalm 118, verse 6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? That's a great verse. Like, God is the creator of everything, and he is more powerful than anything or anyone. Even Satan had to go and ask permission to touch Job. We have to believe that, no matter what comes in our life. In order to not only get saved, see, we're just like, I can't wait to go to heaven. No, it's like, we're supposed to be living this abundant life. It started at the moment of salvation. I found this unknown writer. He said this, little faith will bring your soul to heaven, right? Getting saved. But great faith will bring heaven to your soul. So that's talking about now, right? Great faith in the scriptures will let us live this abundant life. Not when we get to heaven. The fear of man minimizes the resources of promises of God and maximizes the difficulties, right? Proverbs 28:25, the fear of man brings a snare or a trap or a noose, but whoso puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, the African impala, it's like an antelope, and it can jump 10 feet high, so it can jump as high as the ceiling, and it can jump 30 feet long. But you know, if you take that impala and you put it in a zoo and put a 3-foot wall up, they will not jump over that wall Because they, if they can't see where their feet's going to land, the fear of that stops them from jumping. It's the same thing with us. We believe in the promises of God. The fear, when we don't believe in the promises of God, that fear will cause us not to move forward to what we were created to be in Christ. And the last thing we looked at, or two more things, is don't focus on the past or present circumstances, right? We can't keep looking at the past and all their failures. Everybody in this room has failed as a Christian. You can't keep looking back and say, I'm a failure. In Christ, abiding in Christ, you could do anything. God can forgive you. We'll talk about there are consequences on earth. We'll get into that. But you still can get up and go forward. Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 14. Brethren, I count myself to apprehended. It means completely living for Christ. But this one thing I do, forgetting. And that word again means to loose out of your mind. It means don't longer be influenced by those things which are behind and reaching forth. That Greek word is like you're running a race and it's close and you're stretching to that finish line. That's the idea behind that verse, that phrase. Unto those things which are before, I press or I pursue toward the mark or the aim for the prize. What's the prize? The context, knowing Christ, rewards later, the high calling of Christ Jesus. And the last point, and this is where I want to expand now, don't have a self-pity party. Right? Don't doubt God. So what I want to do today is two things. One is look at the results of having a self-pity party. It means doubting God, not having faith in God. And then I want to end with is the results of maintaining that faith. So let's look at, quote, the negative, if you will, first, is the results of having self-pity or doubting God. Here's what's going to happen. If you doubt God's promises, this is exactly what's going to happen in your life. And it's right laid out right here in chapter 14. The first one is going to lead to discouragement. Look at verse 1, Numbers 14. We're going to go verse by verse right through this chapter. So open up your Bible, your phone, look at the word. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And that word cried, it's deeper. It's discouraged. It's depressed. And the people wept that night. So when we begin to doubt God's word, we're going to go to human logic, and it's going to lead us to be self-centered, and it's going to lead us to be discouraged. I found a great quote by Willard Ward, and we're going to throw some of these on the screen for you. It says, discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, distrust of the future. It is ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday, indifference to the opportunities of today, insecurities regarding the strength for tomorrow. It is unawareness of the presence of beauty. So you can't see anything. You can't see beauty when you're depressed and discouraged. Unconcern for the needs of fellow man. Unbelief in the promises of old, the promises of God. It is impatient with time, immaturity of thought, and impoliteness to God. Listen to this statement. I'm going to throw it on the screen for you. Misery comes in our lives when we focus on our selfish perspective and our ways. I found this unknown source article. It's called How to Be Miserable. And it says, think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use I as often as possible. Mirror yourselves continually in the opinion of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. I don't know how many times people say, I'm not going to serve anymore, you know, because I'm not being appreciated. Be suspicious, be jealous and envious, be sensitive to slights, never forgive a criticism, trust nobody but yourself, insist on consideration and respect. That's another one. People don't respect me. Demand an agreement with your own views, nobody but yourself, on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for your favors you show them. I was telling somebody the other day, like, if somebody asks you to borrow money, just give it to them. Don't say it's a loan. Because when they don't pay you back, they're gone. They're not going to even be around. You're going to break friendships. Never forget a service you have rendered. Shirk your duties if you can. Do as little as possible for others. Self-centeredness creates pain for you and others. Think of a child in a department store. and they want to buy this toy. And mom and dad says, no, you're not getting this toy. And they have a tantrum. As a Christian, we come to God and believe in his promises and say, Lord, whatever you want, whatever it's going to glorify you most, that's what I want in my life. It's not, I want this, this, and if it doesn't happen, I'm going to have a pity party. We can trust in the promises of God, but don't, you know, go further than that. It's better to say, Lord, you be glorified. You give me what you want. You lead me what you want me to do. I was talking to Jeremiah the other day, and he was saying that. I was like, in certain area of his life, he's like, I really want to know if this is God's will. I was like, that's awesome. Because sometimes we say, we want this, we want this. And then it doesn't happen. That expectation, it doesn't happen. That's even in a marriage. Like, I don't expect Linda to do anything for me. I'm looking to serve her. It's not the other way around. People, I'm going to be happy if she serves me the right way. Misery is just thinking about yourself. And all they thought about is, and you can see in the next verse, we're going to die if we do what God tells us to do. That's what they believed. So the second thing, you're taking down notes is, all right, if you're self-pity party, doubting God, it leads to directing blame on others and going backwards in your life and your thinking. Look at verse 2. It says, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation. We're talking thousands. Said unto them, would God that you would die in the land of Egypt, or would God we have died in this wilderness? And then they blamed God. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fail by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain. Right? Let's have a human leader instead of God. And let us return into Egypt. Harold Wilmington said this, Israel does here what sinners have often done throughout history. In an effort to escape personal responsibility, they hide behind their families, using them as an excuse for their own shabby unbelief. I met this man at the Green probably about 3-4 months ago. And I met this guy, and I said to him, he was strung out on drugs. I said, why did you start doing drugs? And he said to me, one of the things he said to me is because my parents don't love me the way I want them to. And I said, look, I'm not saying your parents may have loved you completely the way they do, but have you ever hurt your parents? And they started opening up and said, do you ever steal from your parents? Because they kicked them out of the house. Well, yeah. As I got into it deeper and deeper and deeper, his parents really loved him, but he used the excuse, my parents didn't love me, so I'm going to go and do drugs. Now, obviously, he's physically hooked on drugs now. But he's blaming his parents for doing drugs. You see, he wasn't taking any responsibility of himself. And so I said, listen, your Heavenly Father loves you. You need to get saved. You need to repent of your sin and accept Jesus Christ. It's the only thing. I can't promise your parents will always love you the way they should. But I can't promise that you'll never be separated from God's love if you accept him. And then, as far as I know, he professed Christ. I went, I got him some food. And Kathy Owens, I remember this, Kathy Owens gave me $20 to get this guy some food. So I went there, and I used my credit card instead of the $20. So I got him some food, and he goes, can I have the $20? I just spent $20 in buying food. And as if you really cared about me, he went down that path, you see? He went down that path like, I don't really love him. If I really love him, I would have given him the $20. I said, stop it right there. And I gave him my number, my card, and I said, I may never see you again. It's up to you whether you call me or not. Because you don't have a phone. I don't know where you're going to be. I never heard from him. But I stopped him. I said, stop blaming everybody in your life why you're in the position that you're in. There's a way out. Someone said this, people who are out to find faults seldom find anything else. You know, when sports teams are doing bad, what do? They always fire the coach, the manager. They got to have a scapegoat,
right? I used to be a Dallas Cowboy fan, and Tom Landry was a great coach in the past. And when Jerry Jones took over, got rid of Tom Landry. So they got to get rid of us. They got to blame somebody why they're not doing well. Don't do it. Just take ownership of what's going on in your own life. You know, when we have a self-pity party, we'll blame others, but you're also going to try to find people who will be on your side. Because look at verse 4. It says, and let us, it talks about here, let me just grab it real quick. So he said here, all the children are murmuring, and let us make a captain. So they said to one another. So you get people who'll jump on your back. Yeah, that's the way you are. You're going to find people like that. Don't buy into that. And don't you be the one telling somebody, right, opposite of the word of God because it's too hard to talk about. Don't do it. You're going to be held accountable for that. So watch this blaming of others. When our mind is on that, it will lead us back to, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to bondage. Crazy. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor. That means following God's word, you're going to have favor in your life. But the end of the verse says, but the way of the transgressor or sin, you want to follow sin, it's hard. Now look up that word hard. It has to do with rough or continually. It will continue to be rough. If you go away from God's word and you go your way and you think, I'm going to have pleasure. Pleasure is there for a moment, but then it's gone. Proverbs 9:17-18, stolen waters are sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Of course it is. But he knoweth not that the dead are there and that our guests are in the depths of hell. I met another guy, down on the green. We're going back to the green. I'm so excited. I miss it so much talking to people. So I met this other guy, and he said, you know, I tried to be born again, but, you know, nobody poured my life into me. So I was like, wait, what do you mean by that? Like, oh, yeah, I prayed this prayer, but that person didn't want to follow up with me. And I said, look, they should have followed up with you. I'm not saying, but that's no excuse not to live for God. Right? Always want to blame somebody else why I'm not living for God. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Word of God. Don't blame anybody for your own sin. Now, I know people are baby Christians and we should be pouring into them. Don't get me wrong. But stop blaming people. We have the most powerful thing that's going to last forever, this Bible, this Word. That's why we should be spending more time in this Word than anything else. Really, right? Everything else, all men write all these books, they're all going to be gone. This Word's going to last forever. Please, stop blaming other people. The third thing here is we begin to despise biblical advice. All right, go to verse 5. Let's pick up in 5 through 12. Let's read it. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. They were so humble through this process. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, they searched the land, they rent their clothes. So they're really upset. Why you guys aren't believing? And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, and of course he does. If you're a saved believer today in Christ, he delights in you because of Christ. And then he says, that he will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Here it is. Neither fear ye the people of the land. See, there's the fear of man again. He calls them evil in this of just because of unbelief. The biggest sin in our life is always unbelief. Worry. It's the biggest sin. It leads to so many other things. For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They wanted to kill them. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? How long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them. I will make thee of a greater nation, mightier than they. So
Caleb and Joshua gave them biblical advice, but they rejected it. They rejected that biblical advice. Not believing God's word causes us to have defeat and death in our life, destruction. Listen to this, Hebrews 3, 17 through 19, talking about this time. It says, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that have sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that he should not enter into his rest? Talking about eternal rest. But to them that believe not. So we see that we could not enter in because of unbelief. So without faith, you can't get saved, but without faith, believing the promises, you cannot have rest in this life. Yeah, it comes through believing the promises of God continually. They wanted to kill them. I heard this week, I don't listen too much of what's going out there, but Jane Fonda said, she was on some talk show, I think The View or whatever, and said, what do we do with all those pro-lifers? I think we should murder them, she says, and they all laughed. Like, let's put those people to death. They were giving them biblical advice. They wanted to kill them for that. When you and I stand up for biblical truths, you're going to have opposition. Yeah, you're going to have opposition. And anything that goes against this book, people don't like, they're going to stand up against you and wish they can eliminate you. Whether she was kidding or not, I don't know. I didn't watch the clip. But so you see these 10 people, they influence thousands. It says all the congregation. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33 says, be not deceived. Evil communications or companionship corrupts good manners. Now, I want you to think about, you always think about people, but I want you to think, not only people. I was watching this guy yesterday, and he was saying the people that you hang around with, you'll end up thinking like them. And the people who always want to advance, they start hanging around with those people who just want to not have any goals, do anything. You end up hanging around those people. That's exactly what happens to you. Right? So the communication is not just people. It's what we watch. It's what we listen to. Those are our companions. These people who listen, I pull up to the gas station and hear this music, like they're putting this in their mind. You know, gangster type things. It's great. They're going to end up going to shoot people. That's what's going to happen. So we have to watch. We have to watch what's going in. Because eventually you're going to do that. We're going to influence people. We always influence people, either for the good or for the bad. I found this story. This lady, Irene Sachs of Newsday, writes this. This woman, Jean Netdick, a 214-pound homemaker, was desperate to lose weight and went to New York City Department of Health, and she was given a diet. This is back in 1963, devised by Dr. Norman Joliffe. 2 months later, she was discouraged about the 50-plus pounds still to go. She invited 6 overweight friends home to share the diet about how to stay on it. Today, 60 years later, millions of members follow it. And what is it? Weight Watchers. Well, they changed it because they don't want it to be diet anymore. They put WW, because diet is a bad word today. You can't use the word diet. Over 24 countries, thousands of people. And they asked her, how were you able to take control of their lives? How were you able to do this? And I told a story. She goes, when I was a teenager, I used to cross a park where I saw mothers gossiping with the toddlers sitting on the swings. Isn't that interesting? With no one to push them. So I started giving them a push. And you know what happens when you give a kid a push in a swing? Pretty soon they start pumping themselves. So that's my role in life. I'm here to give others a push. She sold that thing 10 years later. She was only part ownership in it. She got $7 million in 1973. And then Heinz bought it, and today Oprah owns, I think, 10% of it today. Millions of dollars. So we influence people, either negatively or positive. Every time we complain, every time we show unbelief in God, and there's people around us and we talk, we promote it to them. All right? I know this is
kind of negative, but I'm just trying to catch you. Like, let's not fear man. It all goes back to fearing man and not trusting God. I want you to trust God so these things don't happen in our own life, right? So Moses and Aaron, they plead for their souls. You know, the Holy Spirit is pleading for you. If you're here today, drawing you to come to Christ. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. The Father said in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Last week, there was a guy, this young man came in, he's 27 years old. He came in and goes, do you remember me? And I was like, yeah, I remember your face and whatever. He goes, 8 months ago, I was riding my bike down the street here, and Kenny and I were sitting there, and we led him to Christ. And he goes, ever since I accept Christ, I'm changed. I said, but you need to come out to church. You need to get discipled. You need to grow even more. So I'm asking everybody who's a believer here today to fast one day this week, from supper to supper, for the anniversary service next week, for people to be saved, for bondages to be broken. Right? Supper to supper. You could do it. You missed breakfast and lunch. Right? Don't eat any food. Every time you feel hungry, pray unto God. Now, if you were Moses and Aaron, what would you have said? Go ahead, wipe them out. Think about somebody who's irritating in your life right now. Lord, take them away. Yeah, go ahead, take them away. But they didn't do that. And there's why. There's two reasons why in the text. One is they said, they will think that you're powerless, God. Look at verse 13. It says, and Moses said unto the Lord, that the Egyptians shall hear it from thou broughtest up this people, and in thy might from among them, see power, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land, for they have heard that the Lord are among his people, that the Lord had seen them face to face, and that the cloud standeth over them, and they goest before them by day time in a pillar of a cloud and a pillar of fire by night. Now if thou shalt kill all these people as one man, then the nation shall have heard the fame of thee, will speak, saying, right? So he's basically saying, look, they're going to show that you're powerless if you destroy all these people. And the second thing he said was, you will not fulfill your promise. Look at the next verse. Because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he swore, see, he promised, unto them. Therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let thy power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken. The Lord is long-suffering of great mercy, just reminding God of who he is, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers, and I'll talk about that in a second, upon the children, upon the third and fourth generations. Pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of these people, according to unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Now, as people, we do suffer for people around us who make bad decisions. We're affected by that, no doubt. But not our personal sin. Everybody has to give an account of their personal sin, right? Numbers 14:33, I'm just going to jump ahead and read. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms and your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 24:16, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall put to death for his own sin. So my sin affects you, but doesn't send you to hell. A great example is Josh McDowell wrote a great book. It's in the bookstore, More Than a Carpenter. He was an atheist, tried to prove that God didn't exist. He met this Christian girl in the college. Great book to read. But he was so ashamed of his father because his father was the town drunk. And he was so embarrassed. And eventually he got saved. And he still kind of, as a new believer, was embarrassed. But eventually, he led his dad to Christ and he got saved. So he said, look, I suffered a lot because my dad was a drunk. Right? It was affected by him. But I'm not going to hell because of my dad's sin. Right? We all have to take account of our own sin. All right, the next thing is, so it leads to discouragement, leads to directing blame to others, despising biblical advice, it leads to living a defeated Christian life. Keep reading here. 21, but as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. You know, God's going to get his glory no matter what. The Bible says even the wicked shall give him glory one day. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times, and there's a list of those things, I'm not going to go through them. You know, obviously one was at the Red Sea. And have not hearkened to my voice. So it was over and over again they rejected God. This is not just one time, and they said, okay, I'm going to wipe them out. Surely they should not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit with him and followed me fully, he followed him fully just because he believed in his promises. Understand that. Following fully is believing what God said in this text. Him will I bring into the land wherever he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley tomorrow. Turn you, watch this. Turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. So God's saying now, watch, to these people, they were right at the promised land. He says, stop, don't go into the promised land. I want you to go into the wilderness now. That's key to what will happen. Watch. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long should I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they have murmured against me, and say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcass shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to the whole number of from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured. So everyone 20 years and older would die in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. Doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to you to dwell therein, save Caleb and Joshua. Verse 31, but your little ones, which you said you should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you and your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness for 40 years and bear your whoredoms, or suffer because of your unbelief, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of the days in which you searched for the land, 40 days, right? They searched the land. Each day for a year, you shall bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise, or my rebuke for not believing in my promises. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it to this evil congregation that they are gathered together against me in the wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, made all the congregation to murmur against them and to bring up a slander unto them. Verse 37. Even those men, those 10 men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague. So within 2 months, those 10 men died of a plague. But Joshua and the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which is of the man which searched the land, lived still. And Moses told these things, saying unto the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. So the very thing that they said, watch, in verse 2 and 4 there, we're going to die if we go and obey God. It's the very thing that happened to them because of the unbelief. I want you to get that. The thing we fear the most when we don't believe God will eventually happen to us when we don't believe God. That's exactly what happened. George Mueller said this. Great man of God, he took care of 2,000 orphans and never went into debt. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. I don't care what you fear, all the phobias they list. When you're a child of God, you don't have to fear anything. You don't have to be in any phobia. So we will live a defeated Christian life if we don't believe in God's promises. Ephesians 1:3 says this, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. And that's the past participle in the Greek. It means you already have it. Us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You already have all these promises. It's a done deal. So God can forgive our sin, but sometimes the consequences on earth will still happen. The 10 spies, they died. Those congregation people, all of them that believed that, they died. Samson, when he had a problem with lust, he eventually lost his eyes. He didn't get his eyes back. So we have to be careful to go so far of unbelief away from God. There may be human consequences that may not turn around from a human standpoint if we go too far. Right? Lot? Right, he pitched his tent toward Sodom and Gomorrah. He lived there. He lived among them. What happened? He lost his wife, his possessions, his daughter's purity. So all I'm saying to you is, please, I don't know where you're fearing man or you're going off, but just go back to the Word of God and start believing it and living by it. So there's not more and more consequences that may not change, right? All right, the last thing here, and then we'll end in Joshua 14, is making decisions outside of God's will. Now you go further. Watch, we're going to read the end of this chapter now, 40 to 45, and we'll go to Joshua 14 and close. All right, look at verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning, and they got them up in the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go unto the place which the Lord had promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, wherefore, now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord, but it shall not prosper you. Don't do it. Don't go forward. Verse 42, go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that you may be able to smitten before your enemies. He's saying, now say, we're going to go, Lord. It's like, no, no. He's saying, don't go now. And then it says, the Amalekites and the Canaanites are before you, and you shall fall by the sword because you have turned away from the Lord. Therefore, the Lord will not be with you. And they presumed to go up unto the hilltop. Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant and of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites dwell on the hill and smote them and discomforted them, even to Hormah. Now think about this. They were afraid to go up to the promised land with God, but they weren't afraid to go without God. That's crazy. Right? Harold Wilmington said this, timing can often determine the difference between obeying and disobeying the will of God. A great example is David. David, the Philistines were coming, and he said, should I go fight the Philistines? And God said, yes, 2 Samuel 5:19. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to fight the Philistines? Will thou deliver them unto my hand? And the Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines thy hand. Some time transpired, the Philistines came again. He asked the Lord, and this is what the Lord said. 2 Samuel 5:20-24, same chapter. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rimmon. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them. So go behind them. Come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of going to the tops of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite. So he said, listen, when you hear those mulberry trees going like this, it's going to sound like a marching army. He says, then I want you to go and fight. All right, go to Joshua 14, and we'll close with this. The result now, the opposite of maintaining faith in God's word during difficult circumstances. A, you're taking quick notes here. We experience a prosperous or advancing forward in the Christian life. Go to chapter 14 and look at verse 6. This is 45 years later. Then the children of Judah came up to Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto the, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me there in Kadesh Barnea. Talking back in Numbers 13 and 14. 40 years old I was then. The Moses, servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to go spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it were in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren went up with me. Talking about the ten. The heart of the people melt. But I was wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swear on that day surely that the land whereof my feet have trodden shall be thy inheritance and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. He just believed the promise of God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since Moses spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this 85 years old. So he's 85 years old now. As yet I am strong this day, as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so even is my strength now for war, both to go out and to go in. Why? Because he believed the promises of God all those years. Colossians 3:23 says, whatsoever you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. He heartily believed in God's word, and he was blessed all those years. Everything we're supposed to do, we're supposed to do with all of our heart, even praising God. Psalm 111 verse 1 says, praise you the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright in the congregation. Now think about that. Are you excited about serving God, of worshiping God, of walking with God? I mean, who's the Kansas City fan here?
in the city, Chiefs? Nobody in this whole place? Oh, we got one. But think about you're watching your favorite sports, whatever that is, and you get so excited, you jump up and down. Why can't we get excited about God? And I'll tell you why. Because we don't wholly believe his promises. Every time we don't, we're discouraged. We blame other people. We do what we want to do. Just exactly what happened in Numbers 14. We do the same thing. So if these are our symptoms, a lot of times, we really don't believe the promises of God. But here, he believed it. He's 85 years old. He had the same faith that he did 40 years ago. He didn't go and say, those people, look, I lived this way 40 years. I didn't. And that's what people do, right? They blame other people for their lives. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. 45 years he had to wait because of other people's belief. To Hebron was that city, and there was giants in that city. Harold Wilmington said this, the severity of God is seen in the death of the old generation in the wilderness. This is the last sentence I want you to focus on. These never enter the promised land. They never entered. The goodness of God is realized in the new generation. God protected, preserved, and provided for these people until they possessed the land. Here's the statement I want you to remember. This reminds me of the justice and the love of God, which are always in sovereign harmony. So God knows those people around you have unbelief in your belief, and you may suffer because of that, but he's still in control, and he still will give you favor. But you got to keep believing along the way, even though you don't have the promises at that time. And then I'll end with the last point, is we retain passion for God until the end. Look at 12 through 14, and we'll close. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou hearest in the day how the Anakims, those were the giants, were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If it so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive out them as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb Hebron, the city. Verse 14, Hebron therefore came unto the inheritance of Caleb, and because he wholly followed the Lord. So he eventually would get that city because of his belief, even those 45 years. And he didn't blame other people. He still had the same passion. So I hope you end well. I know things are going to come in your life. Some of you are younger, and things are going to come. Obstacles, giants are going to come. But there's people that I know as Christians, they're not here today. They're not in other believers I know. They've drifted away because they looked at the obstacles and they chose to go their own way. You know, and they got to come back. They can come back. But the further we're in, the further we're away from God, the more human consequences that can take place that may not be reversed on this earth, right? So my whole point of bringing all this is let's have faith in God and fear him, not fear man, so we can enjoy our Christian life, bring glory to God and others there. That's really what the life's all about. It's not what you obtain, your careers, how much stuff you get. We're leaving it all behind. I'm not wrong to have stuff, but does the stuff have you? Father, I thank you for your patience with us. We all have drifted at times, whether it's seconds or minutes or hours or days, and some are still out there, Lord. We pray that you would bring them back. And we ask you to forgive us for fearing man, for fearing the obstacles, being anxious for things in our life. And so we surrender. We ask you to forgive us for our unbelief. We want to live, and we want to enjoy you. We want to exalt you, Lord, in our life. And so I pray for all your people here today, those are watching, that we'd be in your word. Because you said your faith cometh by hearing. So maybe in the word more and more, and then we exercise that word, begin to live this prosperous life in the sense of moving forward, showing Christ to the world, how we react. And forgive us for blaming other people in our lives and taking wrong advice and listening to that and going our own way. And so we thank you, Father, as Moses argued that you're a forgiving God and long-suffering. So we come, we ask you to forgive us. And if you're here today, you're not saved, you've never been born again, please don't keep waiting. You have no promise of tomorrow, but you're missing out in great life. You're missing out on the blessings of God, the promises of God, of this peace that passes understanding, the joy. And so please come to Christ today. Come talk to me, someone else, and get saved. And so, Father, thank you that we don't have to fear man, but only trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.